Did you know that it takes 50 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup? So basically, the way that you make maple syrup is you go, you collect all the sap, and then you distill, and then you end up with that super sweet, delicious maple syrup. So what does this have to do with writing, David? The point is that whenever you're working on something and you don't feel like you have enough ideas to go write something meaningful, what you should do is go collect more experiences, get away from your computer, and then just spend the time reading, talking to friends, collecting these experiences, live in. And then only later start putting your epiphanies onto the page. They're going to come. And what you realize is that even writers who work full time, it's not like they're spending the majority of their time on the keyboard. Full time writers, they don't actually type for 40 hours per week, because if they did, they'd have nothing to say. What they should do is spend most of their time collecting experiences instead, so that by the time they sit down to write, they've already experienced and thought about what they plan to write about, even if they're not entirely sure about what exactly they're going to say. And by sitting down to make sense of their existing ideas instead of creating new ones when they're just sitting and looking at a computer screen, writers can then think of their time at the computer as molding the wet clay of experience into shape. And all this means that creation isn't just a process of addition. This is what we think about when we think of creation, creating, adding something new. But you know what I'm here to say? I'm here to say that creation is often as much about subtraction. It's as much about collecting all that sap and distilling and refining until you're left with something sweet. And as you discover that, you'll discover what it really means to write from abundance. And we know that creating from abundance is a timeless principle, not just of writing, but of creativity in general, because it shows up in all kinds of creative acts. So two examples. In storytelling, there is a biographer, American biographer, his name is Ken Burns, and he produced an 11.5-hour documentary about the Civil War, which he culled from 22.73 miles worth of film. 22.73 miles worth of film. He ends up with a 75-to-1 shooting ratio, which means that for every 75 minutes of footage he gets, only 1 minute makes it into the final film. Sap, syrup. One more. Arguably the greatest movie of all time is The Godfather. Francis Ford Coppola, who directed the movie, shot 500,000 feet of usable footage. That's more than 90 hours of film for a 3-hour movie. 60-to-1 shooting ratio. And then compression, to get back to the world of writing, compression is why Nietzsche famously said, "It is my ambition to say in 10 sentences what others say in a whole book." Because when a good writer succeeds, and Nietzsche knew this, their stories, whatever they're trying to say, it's well compressed. They pack more meaning into fewer words. And my goodness, everybody has suffered because of stories that lack punch and that just go on and on. I mean, I love my grandma, but Lord knows that she used to tell stories about World War II at the Thanksgiving table that dragged on and on and on. And had she compressed them and took these 40-minute stories into 4-minute stories, they would have been fantastic. Because if you can't get to the point, you're going to lose your audience's attention. To ship something excellent, you gotta be willing to cut what may have taken weeks or months to produce, and that hurts. That hurts. As the composer of a play called West Side Story, his name is Stephen Sondheim, he once said, "You gotta throw out the good stuff to get the best stuff." Now, that doesn't mean that every story needs to focus on the climax of the story. No, that'd be ridiculous. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to say is that the process of gathering ideas and then distilling them into smaller and more compressed forms, that's the essence of creative excellence in almost every field. And this idea of compression, it came alive for me in a 2008 paper from Cornell University called Driven by Compression Progress. And basically, the authors argue that people make sense of the world by making it both simpler and more beautiful. So to do so, they compress large data sets into these elegant deliverables, which are both easy to share and easy to remember. So practically, when we make compression progress, we become like Nike, which compressed its entire marketing philosophy into 3 words, just do. do it. And then there's Albert Einstein too, right? He explained a massive portion of how the world works with just a simple formula. E equals mc squared. It explains so much about the world. It's magical. And the authors argue that innovators move towards compression progress not by following their rational mind, but by following their intuition for what's interesting. And so what they do as they follow their intuition for what's interesting, things become simple. Things become refined, which is why Einstein famously said, things should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. And so this is what we do when we write from abundance. Whereas most people start writing by looking at a blank page, what writing from abundance gets you to do is disassociate writing from typing. They're different things. What you want to do is by the time that you sit down to type, you have all of these experiences that you've collected, all of this food that you can cook with. And then once you do that, you think of writing as a process of compression, a process of distillation, and not just a process of adding more and more and more. You're trying to refine, remove the unnecessary elements so that the necessary ones can speak, so that they can shine. And so whatever it is we write, what we're trying to do is we're trying to create diamonds of insight. And I like that analogy because diamonds are the hardest and the most compressed substance on Earth. They're a form of ultra-concentrated carbon that's created in Earth's molten core, 100 miles below your feet, at temperatures of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, where pressure can exceed 725,000 pounds per square inch. And just like diamonds and just like maple syrup, it's only by exposing our ideas to the force of compression, only then can we trim the excess until we're left with nothing but the sweet maple syrup taste of compression.